Good morning. As Heather mentioned, my name is Pastor Steve Bergeson, and my wife Lynn, who's also with me. I've been a Lutheran pastor for over 40 years. I retired from full-time parish ministry about 18 months ago. And Lynn is a baby mother nurse, and she also retired earlier this year. We're both Minnesota natives, though we moved out to Arizona in 1979, thinking that we would probably move back, and just never have. We stayed out in Arizona. We have three married children and seven grandchildren, all who live in Arizona, which is really a blessing for us, and they are the joy of our life. We've not spent much time in Tucson, so we are really looking forward to getting to know this great community. But even more importantly, we're excited to have the opportunity to get to know you. And we are grateful to reconnect with Heather. She mentioned she was in my youth group just not that many years ago, Heather, I don't think. And we couldn't be more proud of her and the work she's doing here at your church, working with your youth. I'm very honored that Pastor Jim gave my name to your leaders, and then they called me and asked me if I would come to Desert Hope and preach for a few weeks. This is a very important time for your congregation. Pastor Jim's resignation of his ministry here to answer God's call to a ministry in San Jose is a big, big change for you. Last week, you said goodbye to he and Marilyn, but today, the reality of that change is quite obvious. Thanks to the live streaming of your services, I was able to watch your worship services for the past 3 weeks. Pastor Jim is a powerful communicator and has a strong presence. And today, another pastor stands in front of you. And obviously, I am not Pastor Jim. For the past 10 years, and for some of you for the past 17 or 18 years, he has faithfully taught and proclaimed to you God's word. You grew accustomed to his style, with his iPad in one hand and his movement across the chancel to emphasize his points. He passionately preached God's word. You knew when you listened to Pastor Jim, he was going to draw you into a sermon, wasn't he? He was going to bring you right in there, and you knew that you're also going to hear very clearly the gospel. I pray this morning you will hear the gospel, but the messenger has changed. And with change comes a sense of loss. You've probably heard the joke, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is, what? Change? We don't do change. Well, for most of us, we really don't like change too much, do we? Now, maybe you're one of those early adapters and you are just fine with change, but most people are not. We're just not real fond of change. Yet change is all around us. I was at the Mayo Clinic earlier this week, and they had this beautiful picture on the wall with a quotation from Charles Mayo, one of the Mayo brothers who founded the Mayo Clinic. And here's what he said. Today, the only thing that is permanent is change. And he said this back in the 1920s or 30s, almost 100 years ago. He had no idea the rate of change that was coming. The reality is that every pastor will one day leave the church they serve. Sometimes that's a reason for rejoicing, but that's not your case. No, this is a time to just reflect upon what a wonderful pastor you had in Pastor Jim and the loss that it is for you. That's a change that's going to affect you and has affected you deeply, and it's going to take time to process. Pastor Jim did a marvelous job here as the founding pastor of Desert Hope. I spoke to him about a week and a half ago, and he wanted me to reiterate to you how much he loves you and what a wonderful congregation Desert Hope is. When a beloved pastor like Pastor Jim leaves, it is painful. And I hope you recognize this and accept that it's okay to grieve this loss. There are a range of emotions that people experience. There's sadness, disappointment, loss, regret, maybe even anger at that church who called your beloved pastor away. And there are lots of questions that you probably have about the future of your church. Each of you will not have or experience the same emotions. That's to be expected because we're all wired up differently by God. And it's all right to express those emotions in a constructive way. Dealing with loss is managed differently by different people. I know your leadership here at Desert Hope has already begun to put processes in place to guide your church through this transition. And it's going to take time to do this. I cannot tell you how long it will take, but to do it right, to find the right pastor that matches and meets the vision and mission of this congregation, well, that's going to take some time, because you ought to find that person who's discerning God's call to come here to Desert Hope, even as you discern who the right person is. My goal this morning and for the next several weeks is to remind you that God will be with you in the days ahead. Today you are experiencing a change, and today you're taking now your first steps of a journey of transition. A transition from one pastor to another pastor who will be called to Desert Hope sometime in the future. And God's going to be with you, and he's going to direct your paths. And he has another chapter planned for this congregation that you will get to write as you follow his lead. Pastor Jim began his sermon last week by having you look at Psalm 25, verse 1, which reads, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God." Pastor Jim emphasized the importance of trusting God. He was very clear in his message last week that God will provide for you. He said, life is full of challenges, but God is always faithful. And then he said, whether it be through COVID or riots or fires, whatever, God is there for you. And might I add, through the departure of Pastor Jim in Maryland, God is still here with the congregation of Desert Hope. Pastor Jim also reminds you that your ultimate trust is to be in God, not in the pastor. He wanted you to see that he is a vessel that God has used over these years to bring to you God's word and God's comfort. But your ultimate trust is to be in God. Pastors have an important role in the church, but your ultimate trust is to be in God, because the church is not the pastor. The church is the body of Christ. The church is believers in Christ who represent Jesus to the world through word and deed. Each of you has been gifted by God. Each of you have been gifted to let your light shine, as we sang earlier this morning. Trust God in this time of transition. Trust God that he has opportunities and possibilities you couldn't possibly imagine right now. And then let your light shine with those gifts he's given you. Another verse I know that's familiar to you is Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. David, who wrote this psalm, understood from personal experience the comfort of knowing that God was his shepherd. As a shepherd himself, he knew about the care that a shepherd gives to his sheep. He knew that a shepherd is vigilant, and his flock is his first priority. Because of his vigilance and because of his faithfulness to his sheep, the sheep could trust their shepherd. Well, Jesus is prefigured in Psalm 23, and in John chapter 10, Jesus says this about himself. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus is the good shepherd, not some hired hand who runs away when danger lurks or when things get difficult. No, he's the kind of shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. His death on the cross demonstrated how much he loves you. Lynn and I are currently in a book study, and we're reading through a classic book by Philip Keller called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Maybe some of you have seen that book. Keller was a shepherd for a number of years, and in this book, he helps the reader understand what it takes to be a good shepherd, the vigilance and the faithfulness it takes. And he also describes the utter helplessness of sheep. Isn't it interesting that Jesus calls us sheep and he's the shepherd? It's rather humbling. When you read this book, you discover the selflessness it takes to be a good shepherd. Night and day, the shepherd leads and protects his flock. When Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, He means there's nothing he won't do to keep his flock safe. Keller poses a question in the first chapter of the book, and he says, who is this Christ? Who is this good shepherd? Then he answers his own question with these words. Our view of Christ is often too small, too cramped, too provincial, too human. And because it is, we feel unwilling to allow him to have authority or control, much less outright ownership of our lives. You know, when you read that statement, it will probably cause you to ask yourself some questions like, do I see the greatness of Christ? And have I placed my life into his hands? Do I believe that with him, all things are possible? Do I believe, as the Apostle Paul did, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Or is my view of Christ too small, and therefore I don't trust him in every situation? When I was a child, I was 7, 8, maybe 9 years old, I remember going to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher asked us one Sunday morning, are you ever afraid? Every hand went up. And then the Sunday school teacher said to me, when you're afraid, just sing Jesus Loves Me. It'll take away your fear. Now, I have to tell you, that was a long time ago, and I still remember that lesson. So those of you who are teaching Sunday school, take note what an important role you have. Well, anyhow, one day I was at a friend's house, and it became dinner time, and I knew I better get home for dinner. Didn't want to miss dinner. But it also got dark outside, and my friend lived about 2 blocks from me, so I set out to go home. And there was one corner where there was a bush. And as I drew near to the bush, I knew there were monsters behind that bush. But then I remember what my Sunday school teacher said, sing Jesus Loves Me. And so I did. And it took away the fear. And then I ran as fast as I could past that bush all the way home. Okay. But, you know, what a wonderful reminder when that we sing that Jesus is with us. We're never alone. He's always with us. As a church, it's also important for you to ask yourselves collectively as a body here, do we see the greatness of Christ who will provide for us? Or is our view of him too small? Desert Hope, you are now on a journey. It's called a journey of transition. Do you believe that you will not be alone? Will you trust that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will guide you? Will you submit yourself to his leadership and his control? For what I've learned about you, I am very confident you will. Desert Hope sprang out of the desert 10 years ago through the hard work of a pastor and people. But that was not all. Hard work alone cannot create a community of faith like this one. This church is making a powerful impact in your community. Jesus, the head of the church, gave you a vision and gave you a mission. And Jesus, your good shepherd, has led you these years through word and sacrament to become a holy and apostolic community. Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and earth, has told you over and over again how much he loves you. He has empowered you for your mission. He has brought you through good times and some tough times. And he's not going to forsake you now. I'm going to have you read with me something else that Jesus said about himself. Let's read this together. When the good shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow because they know his voice. I love how Jesus describes himself here. He says he goes ahead of us. Desert of Hope, Jesus is your point man. He's your leader. He knows your future. And over the next several months, it's going to be important for you to listen for his voice. Together, your congregation will discern his voice. You'll discern who you are, what's your identity, and where your good shepherd is leading you. I have to tell you, it's not always going to be easy. That's a difficult task to listen and to discern. But it'll be possible because he is going to be right beside you. He's the Lord of the church, and he wants you to be all that he's calling you to be. Without a doubt, the most beloved psalm in the Bible is Psalm 23. It's most often read at funerals because it offers great comfort to those who experience the loss of a loved one. I often remind people when their loved one has died that he or she did not pass from this life to the next life alone. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd walks with them. Let's take a look at this verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't that a marvelous promise from God? He's going to be with us. It's true in death. And it's also true in those times in life where we experience some sort of loss and it feels like death. Your church has closed a door on a chapter of its life. And for many of you, this may feel like death, or certainly like you're walking through a dark valley. But here's God's promise that he'll be with you. He's going to protect you and he's going to guide you into the next chapter of abundant life. The second lesson today was from Philippians. The letter to the Philippians is often called the epistle of joy because all over the place, Paul talks about joy and rejoicing. And what's amazing is that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. Not exactly a joyful place to be, but Paul found joy in the Lord. And so he could find joy in any circumstances. Well, there are two verses in the lesson today I thought really could speak to you as a congregation as you look to your future. And they were Philippians 3, 13b and 14. And here's what Paul said. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, just want you to notice something. In spite of his situation where Paul was in prison, probably chained, he sees there's a future. He has a future. He would not have given up, though he could have, but he would not. That was not in him because he knew with God all things are possible. He had a future. So he said he was straining toward what lie ahead. He was pressing on toward the goal so he could win the prize that God had for him. Paul is saying, even though he's in prison, he still has a purpose. Even though he's in chains, there was a reason to get up every morning because he still had a ministry. I believe Paul could have coined the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Well, he didn't write that, but I think that was his attitude. Robert Schuller, a number of years ago, wrote a book, and it was titled, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do. People of Desert Hope, you are facing a difficult challenge right now, the challenge of accepting change and beginning this process of transition. There will be some difficult days ahead, but they will not last forever. And God has a great future for you. I love your mission statement. I spent some time on your website just exploring what was there. Marvelous. But your mission statement really jumped out at me. Be transformed as we follow Jesus daily, leading others to do the same. I want you to notice this. Your mission has not changed. As you go forward, how you live out and do your mission might change somewhat. But that mission has not changed. God wants you to continue to strain forward towards what is ahead and press on toward the goal of following him and leading others to know him. He has given you a purpose. He has given you a reason to press on. There are people to reach for him all around this church, in this community, who need his word, his hope, his care through your compassion. There's a beautiful prayer that describes what I think describes the life of following Jesus. Oftentimes there's some uncertainty, isn't there, when we follow Jesus? We're not always sure where he's going to take us. We just trust we're going to go with him because it's going to be good. You are now on a journey with an end you cannot see, but God will give you the courage, and he's going to give you the wisdom to move forward with confidence that he will be with you all these days that lie ahead. So I'm going to ask you if you would please join me and let's pray this prayer together. Lord God, You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.